Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Carson Anderson program here on 97.1 The Ticket. Gator with you today. Kang is as well. Kenny's back screening calls. Doug is out today. Hopefully he's back tomorrow. But we will take your calls and texts at 248-539-9797. Let's just get to this first. Kang was out yesterday, as were a lot of people, because of the holiday. And hasn't had a chance to give his thoughts yet on what happened on Saturday night with the Lions losing to Washington in the playoffs. We all know it sucked. It was a bitter pill to swallow over the weekend. I'm feeling better about it as the days have gone on. I don't think I'm quite where Dan Campbell's at right now.
Yeah, he went through his stages of grief quickly.
Yeah, he did. It took him a couple days, and then yesterday he speaks to the media, and he's, I'm ready. I'm back. Okay, I'm glad to hear that because he needs to be back, and he's got to focus on some other things now, which we will get to in just a minute.
But yeah, I feel like he's more important to line success than we are.
Yes. So, Kang, your thoughts on what happened on Saturday night?
I mean, like everybody else, I was gutted. Very surprised, you know, to say the least. Disappointing. You just didn't think it was going to end like that soon, of course. And like we mentioned a second ago, everyone's going through the different stages of grief, right? And Dan Campbell's gotten it through pretty quick, and maybe you're still going through it. So I'm going to give people this whole week, Gator, as far as where they're at when they finally get over this loss. There's anger, there's shock, there's everything, right?
Yep.
And at some point, you finally just come to accept it. I don't know where I'm at exactly yet. I'm still a little, you know, hurt. Over the weekend, of course, me and you talked about the Ravens-Bills game, how an awesome matchup that was. Couldn't wait to watch it. And I watched it, but it definitely wasn't the same, man.
No, not even close.
It's like I didn't even want to watch playoff football anymore, which is crazy because you know how I feel about the NFL. But I was that, like, you know, hurt and gutted by the loss with the Lions. I ended up watching the game, of course. Good game and everything. But it wasn't the same. And my look back on the Lions-Commanders game is this. This was always a real possibility that we just didn't want to believe was possible. And what I mean by that is the injuries on defense, I think, ultimately cost the Lions their season. And there's a lot of reasons why the Lions lost. You know, you can blame Jared Goff. You can blame the turnovers. You can blame the defense. You can blame everything. But to me, I think in the end, it was the attrition, specifically to the defensive side of the ball, that cost this team. They made us believe they could continue doing what they're doing because they were doing it. They won 15 games. They just made Sam Darnold look terrible. They beat the Vikings, right? Held them down. But at some point, that dam was going to break, and I think it broke. And because Jaden Daniels, another reason, is I underestimated how good he is and how fast he got this good. And he picked apart that defense. He was poised. And when you don't get any pressure, because there's guys that just can't beat their man one-on-one, like no Hutch, no McNeil. Like, those guys are important. They're difference makers. And you dial up a blitz, and it doesn't get there. You're in deep trouble. I thought Ben Johnson got out coached. I thought Aaron Glenn got out coached. I thought Dan Campbell got out coached. But in the end, they were working with what they had, and it wasn't much, man. And in the playoffs, it's one and done, you know? And you can't have a bad day in the playoffs, and that's what happened. And Commanders were the better team Saturday night. And it just hurts because you didn't see it coming because you kept hearing the one seed talk on stuff. But really, Vegas, they were the odds on favorite because Vegas didn't want to lose any more money. Like, that was the one team they couldn't afford to win the Super Bowl was the Detroit Lions. And so they're always going to be the favorite, even though really when you look at it on paper, could this defense hold up? And it didn't, Gator.
No, it didn't. And I agree with a lot of what you had to say. I think, you know, the other part is that, we have to be honest about it, Jared Goff had a bad day to have a bad day. You can't play that poorly in a playoff game and expect to win, because in particularly in this situation, because if you're going to not be on your A game or even your B game at that point, that the defense needs to help bail you out. And they were incapable of doing it because of what you just said, because the injuries just ravaged it. And the first defensive series of the game for the Lions on the second play, you know, Meek Robertson
unbelievable
breaks his arm.
I mean, that's the season, like, in that's, general.
It's like that just happened. Again, another catastrophic injury, would have been a season-ending injury, another one of those that happens to this team and this defense. But, look, the defense was playing above their heads, and they were able to get it done. And that game against the Vikings, because they played so well, and Amik Robertson locking up on Justin Jefferson, and the Lions got some pressure on the quarterback, and we were feeling pretty good. Felt very chesty about the efforts, what was going to happen against Washington. Washington can't stop the run. Well, you know what? They didn't. Lions ran for 200 yards. The Lions threw for 320 yards. That's 523 yards in offense. Sounds great. But they had four turnovers. And
yeah, that's not even count the last one.
Yeah, it's five when you think about it. But it's...
But four, because the last one didn't matter.
But it was frustrating as hell, and because the defense, on their first drive, they bowed their neck, right? Because Amik Robertson goes out, and they got to dig deep. There's a fourth down situation, and they get the stuff. Now, they stuffed it. Did Mariota screw up the play or whatever? I don't know. Don't care. But they got the stop. And for that defense to get them to not move the ball down the field enough to be put in scoring position was a big win after the offense went three and out in their first drive. But this seemed like a game where there were a handful of plays, and it's every game. You could look at a handful of plays that really changed the outcome of the game. And, you know, for the Lions, there are too many of those. You know, if you can look at one or two plays that really cost you, okay. But this was a handful of plays that really cost them against a team that wasn't going to show flaws. You know, Washington, we knew going into it that was a pretty good offensive team. We knew going into it that was a high-scoring team, and that the quarterback was playing at a level that was pretty impressive and was able to handle pressure when it comes. He likes playing against the blitz, and he does just fine against it. The Lions couldn't get any pressure on the quarterback throughout the day, and the only time they did get pressure and forced him outside, he threw a brilliant pass to a spot in the corner 50 yards downfield, and Brown made a reception with Kirby Joseph's hand playing blindfold. It was an amazing play for Washington, and that's the only time, really, that he faced pressure. And that's a difference in the game for the Lions defense, unable to get pressure on the quarterback. For the Lions offense, they kept turning the ball over. I mean, there's plenty of blame to go around, and I think if we're going to look at who gets the biggest slice, it's probably Jared Goff for me. And it doesn't mean I've given up on Jared Goff. I think Jared Goff is the guy for this team, not just because he's got the contract, but because I believe in him. I'd love to know an honest response to, you know, how is he feeling really internally after getting blasted on an illegal hit after he throws the pick six? You know, was he scrambled a little bit? Was he apprehensive after that point? Because he didn't look like the same, you know, Jared Goff we've seen all season long in decision-making and all that. And then you start to play with more of a sense of urgency, and maybe you're forcing things. Either way, it's on his shoulders because he's got the ball in his hands ultimately, and they just didn't get it done. But like I said in the crosstalk, I had a friend of mine from Chicago text me this morning, hey, is the window closed for the Lions? And I said, absolutely not. Absolutely not. You know, this team has all the core players you need. Hopefully they can stay healthy next year when they get into the playoffs and we can see something really happen. But injuries obviously killed them a better Washington team beat them. That's what happened on Saturday night. Now, all things being equal with injuries, if you don't have to deal with that on the defensive side of the ball, Lions win that game 10 times out of 10. But they don't have that team. What they did do was put out the team that beat Minnesota, which looked pretty good. Until, like I said, two plays into the game defensively, you didn't have one of the key pieces in the game again. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. You want to comment on what happened on Saturday night? How are you processing it, Detroit? Are you starting to feel better about things? Are you doom and gloom at this point? Have you let it set in? Are you over it? Where are you at? 248-539-9797. This is 97.1, The Ticket. All right, so the Lions lose Saturday night to Washington. Here we are, it's Tuesday. We've had, you know, a few days to kind of digest this and get our bearings back and see where we're at. I'm still pissed that they lost. I was really hoping to see an NFC Championship game here in Detroit. That would have been amazing. Would have been fun talking about, oh, what's the price to get into the game and how many people are going to tune into this one? And because you know it would have been massive ratings if the Lions were going to take on what ends up being Philadelphia. I mean, no matter what, it's the NFL. It's going to get ratings. But because Detroit has been this media darling for a couple of years, people want to tune in and see what happens with the Lions. So it's disappointing to me because I would have loved to. Everybody would have loved to. I'm not alone. Of course, we all wanted this team to win that game. So it's bitterly disappointing when they lose. And just, you know, kind of gauging where people are at. Now that you've let a few days pass, how do you feel about it? Do you feel any better about the situation? And I mentioned earlier, Dan Campbell yesterday was like, he's moved on. He's ready to focus on the future, and he has to because his offensive coordinator just left yesterday to take the job with the Bears. His defensive coordinator is interviewing today with the Jets, and the reports are that the Jets don't want to let him leave without signing the paper. That there are some people that think that strongly that he's going to get the job offer from the Jets. And he's got another interview, Aaron Glenn does, scheduled with New Orleans. It was supposed to be for tomorrow, but because of the bitter cold temperatures and everything else that's going on, New Orleans has said we're going to reschedule interviews for later in the week when things change. So, you know, that's advantage for the Jets if the Jets want to get something done with Aaron Glenn. So he's got bigger fish to fry right now.
Yeah, and we're all at different stages of grieving. I'm better than I was, you know, of course, Saturday night and even Sunday, but I'm not over it yet. And I probably won't fully get over it till the season's over because if I watch other teams play in the playoffs, you're just going to keep thinking to yourself, that could be the Lions. You know, it should have been the Lions, could have been the Lions, and it's not. For Dan Campbell, he's got to get over it because he's got a team and organization to help move forward and try to win it next year. Last break, you ended it like everyone's pie chart's different of why the Lions lost the game. And I think you said golf was your biggest slice of pie.
Yeah.
To me, it's the defense, ultimately the attrition to the defensive side of the ball. I just think when you put up 500 plus yards and you score 31 points, you have to win a playoff game. And I know the turnovers clearly did not help. And I'm not going to defend the way golf played and things like that, but they still ended up putting up 31 points and 500 yards of total offense. You have to be able to win a playoff game like that. And looking back at it, the real key play of the game for me was Goff losing the fumble on 3rd and 1 when they're up 7-3 and potentially being able to end that drive with a touchdown going up 14-3. That completely changes the game because the defense was so bad Saturday night that they had to play with a cushion, and they never got that cushion, that real double-digit, cushion. And it just, from that point forward, the offense felt like, I felt like Ben Johnson was pressing a little bit because, like, we got to score 50.
Well, when the game starts and the Lions go 3 and out, people are like, oh, crap, here we go, because they lost the coin toss and we had discussed, hey, what would you do if you win the coin toss? I would have deferred. I would have taken the ball in the second half and let's go. And they lose the coin toss and they start on offense, which is two things I didn't want to happen. But they go 3 and out. I'm like, crap, this is not good. But then the defense gets the stop on 4th down. That's good news. Then the offense gets the ball back and just methodically marches down the field in 6 plays and scores a touchdown and made it look easy, even though we know we can't say things like that because we know they put in hard work in the week. But yes, it looked easy. It was awesome because it was just 15-yard play here, 22-yard play here. Here's another 17 yards on this play, and then they get it in the end zone. And, you know, then they get another stop, or they give up a field goal. They get the ball back, and they're marching right back down the field. They're in a great situation. Like you said, King, it's third and one. And then things go south because of, I think it was St. Brown, the receiver, gets knocked off the route right away, or he slips right away. And that's where Goff was going. So Goff, he described it after the game, he said it was like a chain of events that just happened that really screwed things up because it throws off the timing. He's going to go there. He's got a double clutch or look elsewhere. And that bought that defense that extra split second they needed because it was supposed to be a quick play, and which no pass rush was going to get to him. But it ends up being a little bit longer. He gets hit, fumbles, and everything else. You know, then the Washington team gets this amazing gift put to them, and they took advantage of it. Give them credit for it. Their offense looked unstoppable in that game. Jaden Daniels looked unstoppable, and they, the Lions were only able to get a few stops in the game. It wasn't enough, and then the offense had to carry the burden. They couldn't get it done, and that was disappointing.
Well, that's why I blame the defense more than the offense, because if you're asking the offense to play perfect, I'm not asking the defense to play perfect, you know? And the thing about that Goff fumble, Gator, is this is amazing. Goff lost zero fumbles this year.
Yeah.
That was the only fumble he lost the entire
time.
Yeah, but he didn't lose any of them.
Lost him, right.
That was the only fumble he lost all year, and it was at the worst absolute time possible.
Yeah. That's why I said picked a bad day to have a bad day, which is kind of a cliche nowadays, but it is what it is. I haven't lost confidence. I know the morning show did a topic, if you lost confidence in Goff. I haven't. I know what he is. I think he's a damn good quarterback. I don't think he's in that, you talk about tiers. He's not in the top tier. Top tier is reserved for elite, and there's like two quarterbacks I know of that are in that level. At the very least, it's two. It's probably three, because I'll throw Lamar Jackson in there along with Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. After that, I start to shut it down and say, nope, there's another tier after that that has your Joe Burrows of the world, right? And is Jared Goff in that second tier? He might not be in that second tier, but he's in the third for sure. Do I think he's a top 10 quarterback? Yeah, I think he's a top 10 quarterback. I think he's great. But he doesn't do what other quarterbacks can do. But okay, so he's not perfect. The guys that are perfect are 1 and 2 and 3. That's it. You know, it's hard to find those unicorns. We got a guy. We got a great offense. This offense had averaged 35 points a game at home this year. That's a lot. This team didn't lose on the road. They were battle tested. They overcame obstacle after obstacle, challenge after challenge, and came to a head on Saturday night, and they couldn't get it done. And it sucks that they couldn't get it done. But it doesn't mean the window's closed. It doesn't mean you throw away the quarterback. You know, it has nothing to do with the offensive coordinator taking a job with the Bears a few days later. People think he was distracted or he lost his focus. That's a bunch of BS. That's not the case, right? You know, Ben Johnson didn't throw the passes that found their way into the Commanders' hands. And in Mikey Sangristil's hands, that was Jared Goff and Jameson Williams, unfortunately. Now, people will go back and look at, I don't like the trick plays, really? Because I like the trick play where Jameson Williams scored. I like the trick play that allowed Amon-Ra St. Brown to take a little shovel pass and go 20 yards up the field on a play that you weren't expecting. So I'll take the bad play. I wish that J-Mo never threw the ball. I wish he just took off and run. And if you look back at that play, if he had made one guy miss, he's probably going maybe for a touchdown in that play. But he was hell-bent on throwing it, and he shouldn't have been hell-bent. Wish you had it back. Look, is that a Ben Johnson problem, or is that a Jameson Williams problem? You know, trick plays don't work if people don't buy the trick. And Washington clearly didn't bite. So it's unfortunate. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. We got a lot of people lined up. Stay there. We'll get to you. We want to get to everybody today. Kind of, again, a postmortem here, but wanting to gauge where the Lion fan is today, what your feelings are today. Dan Campbell's moved on. He's ready to focus and attack the offseason, look ahead to next year, do some draft preparation, figure out who's going to stay, who's going to go from this roster. He's got to find a new offensive coordinator. Will he promote from within? Is he going to go outside the organization? Is he going to lose his defensive coordinator? Lots of stuff going on with the Lions front. There's other news, too, in other sports that we got to get to, but we're focusing on the Lions right now here on 97.1 The Ticket. All right, let's get to the phones. 248-539-9797. Same number to text as well. Where are you at right now in terms of the Lions losing the game on Saturday night? Have your feelings changed at all? You let it soak in. Speaking a little bit calmer today than you did on Sunday or maybe even yesterday. Where are you at? Let's get to the people, and we'll start with Al. Al, welcome to 97.1 The Ticket.
What's going on?
Hey, Al.
Hey, I'm just saying, my man, you know, first of all, you know, I'm a Commanders fan. I'm a Redskins fan. And the thing is that, you know, for the Detroit Lions, I ain't going to say same old Lions because they had a really good season, a damn good season. But what I'm saying is, let's get on. I'm talking about, first of all, y'all got a good coach. Dan Campbell's a damn good coach. But what I'm saying is that Goff. Goff is a decent quarterback, no question. He's a decent quarterback. But see, I'm just saying that y'all call this guy, not Goff, let's get on Jaden Daniels. They say he's a rookie. Okay, yeah, he's a rookie quarterback. But see, he has something in him that knows how to seize the moment. He knows he doesn't crack under pressure. He gets out there and do what he has to do and made the chips fall. But with Goff, you got to learn how to seize the moment. You got to learn how to get out there.
They won 15 games this year, Al. They won 2 playoff games last year. They won a game at the end of the season. Was for all the marbles to eat.
I'm not talking about
that. No, but you are. But you're saying that you're alluding to the fact that Goff, you're saying that Goff doesn't have that in him. That he doesn't have that instinct in him that he can.
He's in that Texans game.
In the what? In the Texans game. And what happened in the Texans game when he threw 5 interceptions? They won.
The only reason why they came back. Because the other quarterback stank, too.
They won the game. They came back from that. That's a challenge. That's an obstacle. That shows intestinal fortitude. That shows what the team can do together. They won the game. And then they win the game at the end of the season against Minnesota. Look, hey, Al, stop for a second. Because you're a Commanders fan. You want to blow up Jaden Daniels and talk about how great he is? You're not going to get an argument. Jaden Daniels is awesome. And I didn't even look at him as a rookie. I had a conversation with Kang, our producer, before the show. I said, the last thing I'd mention about Jaden Daniels is that he's a rookie because all I want to do is talk about what a great quarterback he is. I don't care that he's a rookie. He's great. Fine.
You're going to let me talk, man. You're going to let me talk.
Well, you've talked and you've said very little, but go ahead.
Okay. I'm talking about other quarterbacks like Joe Theismann, my boys. That's what I'm saying. Other quarterbacks.
Yeah, please bring up more Washington quarterbacks we care about. Go ahead. How about Mark Rippon? Yeah, let's go. Right.
Doug Williams,
thank you. All right, that's it. I got to go. And no disrespect, I love Doug Williams, by the way. He was at the game Saturday night. I saw him, and I was a little bit in awe. I'm like, that's Doug Williams. And Stoney pointed him out to me. I'm like, oh, my God, that is Doug Williams. That's awesome. That's a legend right there. But stop talking about Washington stuff here in Detroit. Don't need an outsider telling me what our quarterback is or isn't. When you're comparing him to a kid who's just won his first 2 playoff games in his rookie season, which is awesome. Like, I would have taken first overall in the draft if I were the Bears. Whoops. Great for Washington. They've got an amazing future. And you know what? I'll say it. I'm rooting for Washington against Philadelphia. I am. If I have a rooting interest, it's for Washington. Because I love Jaden Daniels. But I'm not going to shine up Jaden Daniels so that I can poop on Jared Goff. I think Goff had a horrible game. He's my number one blame in the game. But I don't think that they can't win without him. Or I should say, I don't think that he's the reason that this team's not going to win Super Bowl. I think they can win a Super Bowl. I think Jared Goff's really good.
I don't know what the point of his call was. To say Jaden Daniels is good, I think we can all agree on that. If it was the point was that they can't win with Goff, he didn't even say it. Like, he was just dancing around it. Just say it, man.
Well, say exactly. Right.
You know what? All I'm saying, well, say no, it, all man. You're saying say is it. Nothing right now. What are you saying?
Go ahead, say it.
Instead, we're talking ripping.
Right, right.
Like, I don't care.
And he brought up Joe Theismann. Like, oh, great, let's go Mark Rippon. Yeah. But Doug Williams, all right, there you go, Doug Williams. Thanks. We pretty much care about that at this point. Ray is in Detroit. Ray, welcome to 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, Ray.
Oh, my God. I was praying that I was next after that call. What was that, man? Oh, my. Anyway, guys, so I agree with you guys totally. I told my wife the other day, I said, the amount of injuries that this defense had, we were able to overcome it in the regular season. When you play in certain teams, you already know teams in your division pretty well, so you can kind of game plan for them. But when you get in that final eight, which everybody thinks is the best division round, the best round of the playoffs, everybody is good. And it's hard to overcome that amount of injuries. So I was worried about the game. I really thought we were winning, but I was worried about that game. I didn't care who it was, because when you're talking about having 19 guys on IR and then you lose another cornerback to a broken arm during the second play of the game.
Yeah, the first series, first defensive series of the game.
It was like, you know what, if we overcome this again, like, it must be meant to be.
Well, not only that, Ray, they lose Amik Robertson, the second play of the first defensive series they have, right? Then they lose Melifonwu later on in the game. I forget if it was early in the second half or was late in the first half, whenever it was. I think it was earlier in the second half. They lose Melifonwu. That defense has completely changed. I mean, you're bringing, they literally had guys that were barely on the practice squad. They're now elevated for this game.
They said one guy, it was his second play or something like that of the season. And not only that, I wish we had Doug Williams at quarterback.
Right. Yeah, thanks for the call. Hey, I appreciate it.
Good talking to you guys.
All right, Ray, thank you. Yeah, I mean, the Lions, they had elevated Chris Smith, the defensive lineman, and Stanley Thomas Oliver, the corner. That's who they elevated right before the game.
Morris Norris played a bunch of snaps all of a sudden.
I mean,
Morris Norris, with all due respect, the dude played, what, one snap this year or something? And in the playoffs, when you're the whole season's on the line, we're asking him to come in and play a bunch of snaps? I don't know what the stats are on this, Gator, so if someone do the research, whatever. Has a team ever lost three players to broken limbs because of friendly fire?
Right.
Like, in the... Dude, I'm sorry. He helped break. Aiden Hutchinson ran into Aleem McNeil, which broke his leg.
Alex Anzalone.
Alex Anzalone breaks his forearm because of friendly fire. And then Amik Robertson, it happens to him in the playoffs.
Jack Campbell, I think it was, it hit him. Yeah. And remember, when we talked about this game on Friday, and we talked about all last week, right? And as a week built up, I was feeling chesty about the game. The reason I felt chesty about the game, players I specifically mentioned, I said I like this matchup because, despite the injury to Carlton Davis, and then what had become, I guess it was Carlton Davis, they're switching guys around, and now you've got Amik Robertson moving from the slot over to the corner spot. What he did against Justin Jefferson, I like that. But even more, what I liked was that now that allows Brian Branch to go into a slot corner. And Melifonwu is healthy. And now Melifonwu can be that playmaking, hard-hitting safety we know that he is. Well, two plays into the game, you lose Amik Robertson, and now you're shifting things around again. And then a half later, you're losing Melifonwu and the safety side. So there goes what I liked and what I was chesty about.
And that's why that was my number one blame in the pie, Gator, is the attrition to the defense.
No, I get it. And to me, there's two big pieces, but I just give the bigger piece the offensive side, because they had to pick up the slack for what the defense wasn't doing. And look, they got a ton of yards, and 31 points seems like a lot, but it's less than what they averaged at home. It's right at what their average was during the season, and they needed to do more. And unfortunately, they turned the ball over. And, you know, the fumble, like I said, Goff described it as a chain of events, but he's got to take better care of it, even though it's the first fumble he's lost all year. The interception he throws where he overthrows Tim Patrick and there are other guys open. I don't care if the other guys were open. Tim Patrick was wide open. He just made a bad pass. It sailed on him, goes for pick six, and then Goff gets clocked and there's no flag on it. Okay. I don't know if he was the same after that. Physically, I'm not going to say mentally, I'm going to say physically if he was the same after that. Throws the interception right before halftime that you can't have. Either throw it away or throw it only where J-Mo can get the ball. I don't know if Sainer still, if he baited Goff or if he just makes a spectacular play. Either way, he makes a spectacular play and intercepts it. And there goes an opportunity to get, at least go for three, because they were at the 30-yard line. Would have been a 47-yard field goal, which we know that Jake Bates can kick. those are massive plays, particularly when you look at the pick six literally turned into 7 points the other way. You miss out on the 3 points for the field goal. That's 10 points. And then you have the fumble on a drive that you at very least were going to get three. So at the very least, it cost them 13 points, probably 20. And it could have been as many as 24 points. I should say 21 points on this.
Yeah, all the turnovers were critical because there was points attached to those turnovers.
That's the difference in the game is, to me, is the turnovers. And the turnovers I attribute to the quarterback. Unfortunately, I love the quarterback. I think he's the quarterback for this team. I don't waver on that. And you know what a huge Hendon Hooker fan I am, but I'm fine with it. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Same number to text. You want to get in that way. We will discuss more as we continue here on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, looking for a new or used car? Well, you've got to check out Sarah Chevrolet of Southfield. With one of the largest inventories in the area, you're going to find exactly what you're looking for, whether it's a sleek new model or a reliable pre-owned vehicle. And here's the best part, guaranteed credit approval. No matter your credit situation, they've got your back. Sarah Chevrolet of Southfield is in the perfect spot. They're right there at 696 and Telegraph. Got the giant American flags sticking up there. You'll know exactly where they are. And they make it easy for you to swing by and drive off in your dream car. And if you're short on time, no worries. They'll even bring your new ride right to your doorstep with at-home delivery. And if you're into the latest tech, you'll be glad to know that Sarah Chevrolet of Southfield is one of the top EV dealers in the country, offering cutting-edge electric vehicles that are setting the standard for the future of driving. I was at the auto show yesterday. I saw a lot of electric vehicles on display. It's pretty cool to see. And best of all, they're open on Saturdays because they know weekends are the best time to shop for your next car. Come see why Sarah Chevrolet of Southfield is the place to go for your next vehicle. Together, let's drive. Well, I hope we get some more Washington references. That'd be fun. And we'll bring John Jansen back. Talk about the good old days. Playing in Washington.
Yeah, how come that caller never brought up like Patrick Ramsey?
I don't know. I don't get it. Huh? Doesn't make any sense.
No.
Doesn't make any
sense. Left him out.
Right. Didn't say Kirk Cousins.
No.
RG3.
Gus Frerotte.
Gus Frerotte. Good call there with Gus Frerotte.
Thank you.
Where was that? You know?
No, he went to the good quarterbacks.
Taylor Heineke.
Yeah, right.
Miss all the good stuff, the recent stuff. It's okay. It's all right. Look, calm down. I'm all right. Paul is next up here, 97 on the ticket. Hey, Paul.
Hey, guys. I want to put the blame. My biggest piece of the pie is on the defense. And it's easy to look at the offense and 5 turnovers, be like, man, that's the problem, the biggest problem, but the field position on those turnovers, you might as well have been punting. And they put up 31 points on offense, which I looked through the numbers, looked through the scoreboards. That was enough to, basically, 18% of the time this season, teams have scored 31 points or more. So if your defense had played bottom 82% of defenses, you win that game. Like, yes, the offense could have done more. The picks suck. They take points off the board. Our offense could have put up 50 on a good day yesterday, you know, bar those picks. But the defense had put up, 20 worst performances of the season. That was enough to win the game.
Well, if you're going to – I mean, the problem with playing with numbers like that is that you're not putting into the effect of what Washington's offense is, which Washington's offense, sure, I believe, is a top 5 offense in the National Football League against all competition. Now you put it in against a extremely wounded defense, and that 28% chance, whatever you said, is there, that grows exponentially.
Yeah, the defense struggled because of the injuries, and you look at the number of injuries is directly proportional to your losses in a season. The Lions are the only outlier this season.
They were able to overcome it for the most part, and then it just became too much. In a game where then you lost another piece, and it was like a game of Jenga with a defense. You know, you pulled that last piece out, which was your last starting corner, and boom, he goes. I mean, I guess Terry Arnold is your last starting corner, but
I still feel though that the defense if they could have done a tad better, we win that game. And so that's my biggest slice of the pie.
All right. I appreciate it, Paul. I don't think a tad better gets it done. I think you could talk about the offense, and those are basically punts. But the one is a pick six, so it's not a punt. It's points going the other way. The other one is an interception in the back of the end zone at the end of the first half that cost you from kicking a field goal at the very least. That's points. The other one was a fumble deep in their territory.
Yeah, it's at least 3 points there.
Now, that's not a point, but that's not a punt. But again, it's at least 3 points and probably seven the way that team was marching. Because that's the Lions' first drive after they went down and scored in six plays. They were humming along offensively.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a momentum shift there, too.
It was massive. So I appreciate what he's doing with statistics and numbers like that, but I don't think it applies.
Yeah, yet. You don't think it would have mattered, maybe, but I'm on agreement with him, obviously, as you know, I think the defense is the bigger blame in this game. I think when you still put up 31 points and 500 yards, you should win a playoff game because what the Commanders did is they put up 38 points on offense. You know, I'm not counting the pick
right,
six.
Right.
So 38 points. They scored a ton of points on the defense. I just think, I don't want to say this sounds bad, but I feel like we were tricked into, it was like a mirage what the Lions were doing. It was actually amazing if you look back at it that they won 15 games and were the number one seed with all the injuries they had. And what it made us do is it made us believe that they can continue doing this when at some point, it wasn't sustainable. It just wasn't.
And I guess this supports you a little bit is I'd love to see what happens if Robertson doesn't get hurt, if Melifonwu doesn't get hurt in the game. You know, how different does that look? Because it's basically the entire game you're playing without Amik Robertson.
Oh, yeah.
That's huge. Now, again, you can't commit turnovers in a game where the other team isn't. That's the other balance of it is that, okay, if the Lions are going to turn the ball over, I know it was five. Let's say for the four times because the last one, who cares? If they're going to turn over four times, they better be able to get the ball back on some turnovers a couple of times to balance it out a little bit. But when it's 4-0 in the turnover battle,
yeah, it's almost impossible to come back.
That's why I have it on Goff and the offense. And you have it but again, it's like my 51, right? The defense clearly wasn't good enough to stop Washington. And because of that, the offense needed to do more, which we knew the offense was going to have to be there anyway. And they just weren't enough because they kept shooting themselves in the foot. Now, here's another one on the defense. Don't have 12 men on the field on a 4th-and-2.
Oh my God.
Don't commit a pass interference in the end zone. I don't care if it was
incidental or not.
One. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have thrown a flag on it, but you can't give them the ammunition to go ahead and throw a flag on that. Those are massive plays that keep extending things when the defense is doing all they can to stay in it and fight and claw and do everything that Dan Campbell wants them to do, drag them into the deep water and all that and bite kneecaps. It's what they were doing. And then that happens, and it go from being 4th-and-2 with a chance to shut them down to 1st-and-goal from the 1.
Yeah, and I don't think Aaron Glenn had his best day calling.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Defensive plays. Like, I don't know how much this affected the game plan, but he wanted to play a lot of man. They lost their best man guy, yeah. You know what I mean, the second play on defense. And I don't know if you can switch game plans all of a sudden. You still stick to the game plan, which was man. And there's one play that really stuck out to me was when he blitzed Brian Branch, and there was two guys covering three commander receivers. Like, are you kidding me? Kirby Joseph is like a mile away. He wasn't going to get there.
Are you talking about the touchdown pass to McLaurin when he was 59? Yeah, that's
there's
tough.
Three receivers over there and two defensive backs. You cannot blitz Brian Branch at that moment. You've got to kill an audible out of it, or Kirby Joseph has to get over there. Instead, they continue with the blitz. Jaden Daniels calmly throws the ball to Terry, and he's gone because no one's there to tackle him.
He splits the two guys.
Yeah,
and then
it's a foot race to the end zone.
Yeah, that one hurt a lot.
That was a terrible call.
Well, I mean, is it a terrible call or is it a great play? I guess because
they had three receivers.
Slow down.
I'm sorry.
Slow down.
You know what? I got to back off.
Slow down. I'm sorry.
I guess I'm still mad.
So is that an Aaron Glenn problem, or is that a not recognize it quick enough on Kirby Joseph's behalf? Okay. So I don't know if I'm gonna kill Aaron Glenn because he's trying to dial up some pressure by bringing a safety because they had no pressure at all on the quarterback, and that's how you're going to try to get it. I can't kill him there. I would blame the safety for not getting over. That's where the blame, I think, goes.
Well, I don't know if he was supposed to get over.
Well,
or what.
Somebody's supposed to be there, I think, that to accommodate for the
you
safety.
Think,
he's not. Yeah.
Or Washington just had the right call dialed up because they know what the Lions are trying to do.
May have been, but I don't want to give credit to Cliff Kingsbury, so there's that. there was another play in the game where Branch is coming. I think it's on a blitz. It's a play going, you know, on your TV screen from the bottom to the top, if you will. Jaden Daniels is rolling out to his right. And I think it was a third and short play. Brian Branch is chasing him down in the backfield and looks like he's going to get him, and he doesn't because Jaden Daniels is that much quicker, that much faster, gets past him, and then turns it into a big play and a first down, where if he makes that tackle, it ends up being a fourth and can't go for it on fourth down. It's not fourth and two. It's like fourth and seven, and they would have punted. Instead, fresh set of downs, and they keep going down the field. A lot of plays like that. That's the problem, is there are too many plays in the game that were like that that cost the team both on offense and defense. I still think this team is absolutely a Super Bowl contending team. They got to be healthier to do it. They're not good enough to get by because so-and-so is elite, right? They've got some elite players on this team. The quarterback's not elite, but the quarterback's really good. The offensive line might be elite, although I think you could shoot some holes in that theory. I think they got some linemen that are. The center is. The right tackle is. And the other players are good, but, you know, St. Brown's elite. And then you start to get into different territories, and it's fine. It's fine. This team is talented enough, when healthy, to compete for a Super Bowl. But they don't have that. You know, if you want to say that the quarterback isn't Josh Allen, he's not Patrick Mahomes, right, he's not. And there are, you know, 27 other teams that don't have a quarterback or 28 other teams that don't have a quarterback that is like that. So I deal with it. It's okay. Let's go to Jack, who's next up here, 97 on the ticket. Hey, Jack.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Hey, let's be honest here. The Lions have the greatest, I think one of the best offenses in the NFL. They're just exciting to watch, and I think they're the best. I think they have the best offense in the NFL. Where they lacked it, and when Hutchinson went down, they tried to patch up that pass rush. And when you get players in their late 30s trying to patch that up, you just can't do it. They didn't address it in the last draft. And then when Hutchinson went down, They try to pick up these players. They're going towards the end of their career. And I think that was one of their biggest downfalls right there.
Well, everybody got hurt. And thanks for the call, Jack. I mean, that's the problem. Davenport gets hurt right away, but that was his MO in his career. He always gets hurt, which is unfortunate because I think he's very talented. But he got hurt. Then you did try to you draft a guy like Wingo. He gets hurt. He gone. You go out and you get Za'Darius Smith at the trade deadline. I think it was an excellent pickup for what was available at the trade deadline, but I think he underperformed from what the expectations were going to be, because I was thinking, okay, now they're going to get a guy who's going to get some pressure on the quarterback consistently. Not as much as Hutch, because Hutch is elite, but he should be able to get some pressure consistently, and he didn't. And he was completely non-existent on Saturday night, except for the play when he drops into coverage and knocks the pass down. Beyond I don't know where Za'Darius Smith was.
Well, Za'Darius Smith, that's the reason probably why he didn't play 100% of the snaps. When you look at a snap count every game, it was, you know, half the game or whatever, half the snaps, because he's a situational almost type of player. Are you a little disappointed in Levi Onwuzurike and what we were kind of sold?
Yeah, we will get to that next year, 97.1 The Ticket.